This is the Daily Perspective Podcast for Wednesday, the 24th day of March 2021. Mark Congleton here, your sometimes humble host for this daily dose of observation, insight, and absurdity. Hoping you and yours are doing well, and that the last 24 hours has treated you well. If not, just leave it outside for a little while. Let it think about what it did. Oh, it's one of those days. You know what I mean? It's just one of those days.
A vowel?
Yes.
Would you like to buy a vowel?
I would like to buy a vowel. It's just one of those days. I've been in the studio for a while today. I do this early in the morning. I actually live stream at 8 on Facebook Live and record as I go. But I have been in the studio since about 6:30 this morning, just working on odds and ends. And I had a little website design victory and was just really happy about it. And all of a sudden, the pre-show music started rolling. And I thought, wow, I have been... just my brain has been sucked into the computer for quite a while. So here we are. I find myself scrambling to open things and to make sure that I have all of my source material up. And I'm just so easily distracted. Shiny stuff. You know what I mean? What am I going to do? The last day has been kind of weird for me. I told you yesterday I was going to be running all over the place. One of the places I had to go was to a FedEx location on the other side of town because it was really the most convenient location for me considering what I had to do yesterday and where I had to go. And so I ran to this, among other places, I ran by and picked up the mower blades I mentioned yesterday. I got those picked up, and then I hopped on the interstate and ran to the other side of town to this FedEx office and shipping location and stood in line behind a handful of people on my social distancing spot on the floor and waited while the guy in front of me is jamming out to the Muzak. Okay, it's not Muzak, but they've got some sort of background music playing, and he's up there just, you know, he's just getting into it. And I just didn't know what to expect from the guy, but I finally got that handled, and the process is pretty weird because, okay, this is AT&T gear. I'm shipping back to AT&T because I cut off services from them, and FedEx knows all about this. They got it all down to a science, so to speak, probably more scientific than our government, and you tell them, oh, this is all AT&T stuff, and they say, oh, okay, good, and they go get these plastic bags, and you have to put each piece, like each there's a cable box, so to speak, for each television in the house, and there's a power supply that goes with that and a remote control that goes with each one of those, and then there's the gateway, the modem, the cable modem that they have. Each thing has to go in its own separate bag, and all the cables and power supplies and the remote controls go in a separate bag to themselves, and they don't do that. You have to do that. So they hand you the stuff and you bag all the stuff up and give it back to them. And then they box it all up and print off your tracking and all that stuff. And it was an interesting experience because what I was told and what my wife was told on the phone and what I learned from online was that you just take them the stuff and they take care of everything else. But because of the Rona, you now have to do your own bagging. And they will not touch your stuff. They just won't. In fact, the lady behind the counter was a little hesitant when she handed me one of the bags because our fingers almost touched each other. Fear. Just fear. And then after that studio session, and it's funny, during the studio session, there was a web address given out during the recording, and there was this puzzle look like, I think I've got this right. Is that right? Because they didn't have it written down anywhere. And It's one of those things. When you're going to be recording, you make sure you've got your show notes in front of you. You make sure you've got everything up. And there's a whiteboard where usually this information is written out on the whiteboard. This is your guest's name. This is his wife's name. This is, you know, they have children, and oldest to youngest or youngest to oldest, and they have their names up there. And then they have, you know, the name of whatever he's involved with and his web address, email address, that sort of a thing. It's all right there. So the host of the program has it's all right there at a glance. And it's usually set up just to one side or the other of the camera, so he can just kind of glance to one side or the other. And he's got the information there, so he doesn't have to look down. Okay, my notes say, you know, he can just look, glance to the left of the camera or the right of the camera, and the information is there. So, but this particular piece of information, this web address, which turned out was pretty important, web address wasn't there. And so he took a stab at it, and he got it right, but he took a stab at it. And afterwards it's like, and fortunately the producer was in the studio and had his laptop sitting there, and he called it, he pulled it up and he verified, yeah, you got it right. So that's good. And then we talked for a few minutes about, and this is after the everything stops rolling. We're talking about how at one point in the past, there were flyers, there were posters, there were all these things put out, and they had an incorrect phone number on the thing. And it happens in spite of the number of people that look at it. It doesn't matter how many eyeballs actually examine something. There's going to be now and then something overlooked. And it turned out that the phone number was to a phone sex line. And it was, on one hand, it was, oh no. On the other hand, it was hilarious. And then on the flip side of that, it was expensive because all of that stuff had to be reprinted and redistributed. Oh gosh. And then we talked about how I spent 10 years doing web design and doing email blast layouts and things like that, among other things. And I would run the content past a group of people. One of the people being the one who perused every contract that we ever did. And that person, she has an eagle eye and she can spot anything, you know, like you left a comma out here, that sort of a thing. She's that person. She can go over something and find every detail that needs to be corrected. And even then, now and then, something would go out and I'd get a note back. Hey, did you know there was a typo here? Did you know that's not his first name? Did you know that things like that would happen? But the phone number is wrong, that sort of a thing. It's because people, it's just human nature. People will look at things and not see what is there. Which is why you get more than one person to back you up and to proofread something if it's important. If it's going out in front of hundreds of thousands or millions of people, you make sure it's proofread and everybody's on the same page, and you get an official okie dokie to go ahead and distribute. Well, in spite of that, people will just not see something that is there. And it's embarrassing. But it just happens. And so this morning, about 6:30, maybe a bit before, I got a text message. Hey, can you go fix this on this thing we released yesterday? Because the guy's name is misspelled. Now, I have looked at this guy's name. I have looked at the graphic that goes with everything. This is after this conversation we had yesterday afternoon. I have looked at all of this stuff, and I have made it a point to look at how it's spelled, and I still left a letter out of this guy's last name after looking at it again and again, making sure, okay, I've got it right here, so why don't I just copy it from here and paste it everywhere else? And I still got it wrong. And I don't have a staff of people, hey, to call me an idiot. Hey, you missed something. You know, it's just me. And the dog's no help. I mean, she's sweet, but and she's cute, but she's no help. But I mean, yeah, I'm talking about you. And anyway, that was yesterday. That was a bizarre day, and it wrapped into this morning. And I'm just, wow. Just wow. Oh, man. And the little project I've been talking about is rolling along, and I'm getting excited about it. But we've got a situation where we're building this thing right now, and there's an expense, and we're just like, how are we going to pay for this? Because we need money to start generating, and we can't generate money until this is done. And we can't pay for that until there's, it's a catch 22 situation, that which we'll figure out. We'll put our heads together and mortgage something, but that's coming along, and I'm kind of excited about it. And I know when I get little text messages asking me things, hey, is this on your website supposed to be, are you doing this and that? And I'll realize, oh, they're seeing something that's all in test phase, and they don't understand it's not live yet. Because I have a handful of people, or we, I should say, have a handful of people that we have shared certain things with to, hey, go have a look at this and see what you think about it and give me your feedback. And they do, because more eyes are better, as we just discussed. Okay. And from time to time, I have pored over this stuff and spent lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of hours looking over this stuff. And now and then it's just like, it says what? Wait, he doesn't spell his name that way? it's just kind of weird. It's just, and one of the guys that I'm working with on this, I designed a logo for him yesterday. It's got his name on it, and I texted it to him. I dropped the graphic in a text and sent it to him, and he said, oh, that's how it's spelled. And I thought, oh, great. How could I? That's a simple name. How could I have misspelled that? And then I realized he was joking. Yesterday was spelling day. It was just weird. Anyway, so much for yesterday. That's how yesterday went. And I hope yours was as much weirdness as mine was. Well, speaking of weirdness and the state of the nation, which we probably will never hear from the president, because for some reason he's not going to be making, for some reason, which should be obvious to anybody with a couple of gray cells, he's not going to be making a State of the Union address. apparently, it's no longer the Biden administration. And this is not one of those hearsay things. This is something that's getting publication in a bunch of places, except for the mainstream places. The Biden administration has to have hit a historical record for being the shortest lived and worst run administration in the history of the United States already. Already. Not even Easter yet. We've had doctors and farmers arrested by the FBI for moseying around the rotunda. The southern border is experiencing a humanitarian crisis normally seen after war or natural disaster. But no, this one is Biden and Harris created. The Democrats are trying to sneak in the federalization of elections through SR1 or HR1. The economy is an inflated balloon. Biden has the pen. But thankfully, that administration is now over. Yes, you heard me correctly. That administration is now over. It looks like the Democrats are attempting a name change and a facelift, according to reports. A leaked email from an employee of a federal government agency reveals the White House is shifting toward a communication strategy that seeks to elevate Vice President Kamala Harris in all official White House business. This federal employee says that the directive came from a top White House communications team member and instructs all agencies to refer to the Biden administration as the Biden-Harris administration. Here's what the directive says. Communications, please be sure to reference the current administration as the Biden-Harris administration in official public communications. We'll talk about things that make you go, What do you think this means? We'll be right back. edition of the Daily Perspective Podcast. Wednesday. No camels here. It's a it's another gray day in our hood. We may see some sunshine this afternoon, but it's going to be short-lived because we have more of that nasty weather coming back in tomorrow. In fact, they've already put out the maps about the places, the time you can expect the nasty weather to get here. Yesterday, it got really breezy. It got did I say breezy? One place was not reporting gusts, but winds of 40 miles an hour. About 25, 30 miles north of me, there's a little town called Oneonta, and they have a historic theater on the main drag, the old main drag, the main street. And it has this facade that goes up the front of it. It's all very Art Deco and everything. And part of that was destroyed by the winds. And it all fell on cars out front and such. And so it was just kind of, it was just a bizarre day yesterday. And tomorrow is going to be more of the same. And my hopes of mowing the grass have been dashed forever. Anyway, let's see here. This situation with the Biden-Harris administration, this directive to make sure that all of the official public communications refer to the administration as the Biden-Harris administration, the directive is reflective in all department and agency websites. The official White House Twitter account now reflects that change. This report that I'm looking over says the move raises eyebrows among those who believe President Biden's mentally unfit to serve and is being slowly pushed out and replaced by Vice President Kamala Harris. Or it's supposed to be pronounced like a comma, Kamala Harris. Since at least the beginning of the 2020 election cycle and now into his first months as president, Biden has exhibited startling signs of mental decline, possibly dementia, according to some medical experts. And this is clearly Harris's way of showing the world who's really in control of the White House. Trust me, it's not Joe. It's not Kamala. It never has been either one of them. They're just the people who go out and talk for the cameras. And please don't be surprised that this is happening. We should not be shocked or amazed that this is happening. This is something that we suspected very strongly from way back, and now it's beginning to happen. So shock and amazement is not appropriate. This is all very predictable, very, very predictable. And I wish I had a video. There was a video I looked at yesterday, or maybe it was very early this morning, from Facebook, where Ted Cruz was it Ted Cruz? No, it was actually, I'm getting things mixed up here. Sean Hannity showed a video of Joe Biden from about 7 years ago, starting about 7 years ago, and him talking to people. His speech is strong. He's an idiot, but he's still, don't get me wrong, but he's still powerfully pushing what he's talking about. He's not mincing words. Everything is very clear. You know exactly what he's saying. And then he contrasts that with since he's become president, things he's said in public, things we have on camera. And it is obvious that in the past 6 or 7 years, he has declined dramatically. So we should not be surprised in any way, shape, or form that this move is taking place. It is a transition beginning. They are bringing Kamala Harris more into the forefront so that when it's time to declare Joe Biden unfit for office and move her in, no one will be surprised. It will not be a shock. It will not be unexpected. They are prepping people for the next step. Now, let me just reinforce what I've said before. When that happens, the president of the United States may on paper and on camera be Kamala Harris, but Kamala Harris will not be in charge. I've said this again and again and again. These people are no more in charge than Barack Obama was. Remember, Barack Obama, for practically the entirety of his first term, never spoke in public without a teleprompter. He read everything because he had people controlling every word he said in public. I wish I could find it. It's hard to find, but there is actually video of the man stopping a presentation, a speech to a group of people because the teleprompter broke down. He didn't improvise. He didn't fill time. He didn't chat. He just stood there and smiled while they fixed the teleprompter. And that is the indicator, or one indicator to me, that the guy was never really in control. He always had things being fed to him. And only after a handful of years being in that position, when he had the routine pretty much down pat, did he improvise. And every time he wandered from the script, he would stammer. His speech patterns would change. So you knew he was not on script. And he always had a handler with him. Always. Always. So he wasn't in charge. Neither are these people. And when you look at who was between them, Donald Trump, the contrast is stark. It is just absolutely stark. There was a guy who was not a politician. He was not slick. He was not polished. He didn't stand there and read a teleprompter unless he's making a speech like a State of the Union speech, which we still haven't gotten from Joe Biden. Of course they read those. And there's a little improvisation. There's a little bit of deviation because in the live setting, that happens. Because you feel you can go a certain direction based on the response you're getting, but you don't deviate from the overall script. And the speech is written, it's prepared. In fact, over at linkreport.us, you can read the prepared remarks for his inauguration address, Trump's inauguration address. And it is as prepared for delivery, not exactly the way he delivered it, because in the moment, things change a little bit here and there. But you're not going to get that from Joe Biden, because as we have seen in the times he has spoken publicly, he forgets what he's talking about. He forgets people's names. He gets confused. He gets lost. He stops himself. He says, I'm going to mess this up. And then he has to check notes or be reminded or something before he can move forward. So it should not, as I've said, come as a shock to you that they're changing the image. They're changing how things are framed. They're changing the way things are presented step by step, little by little, because it's becoming increasingly obvious to many, many people that there are serious problems with Joe Biden and he will not be there for much longer. I had earlier said that they would protect Joe Biden at all costs, and I still believe that. They will hold him in that position for as long as they can, because they would really rather not have Kamala Harris sitting in the White House, in the Oval Office. They'd really rather not have that happen because she was incredibly unpopular. She dropped out of her presidential campaign before everything got hot and heavy in that contest because she was unliked, she was unsupported, she was unpopular. She was not going to win. There was no way she could possibly win. So she dropped out. But they chose her as the vice president for a specific reason. Because of her gender and because of her race. Not because of her qualifications. Kamala Harris, when you see her in public, remember, every time you see her on camera, the reason she laughs the way she does, like she did when she was asked about going to see the situation on the border the other day, that everybody's making such a big deal about. They're saying, she laughed about that. That's not right. Then no, you're missing the point. She laughs whenever she is challenged a certain way. It's a tell. She just laughs because she's not comfortable with what she's being talked, what's being talked about. She laughs it off. The same way Joe Biden used to grin and shake his head during the debates when he was targeted, when he was bullseyed. Kamala Harris has that nervous laugh. And that's why that's happening. They didn't want her there. They wanted her gender and her skin color. That's all they wanted from her, to satisfy a certain group of people so they could help get Joe Biden elected. She is not qualified to be president. It's the Daily Perspective Podcast. Wow, we're already halfway through this episode. That's wild. Now, time flies when you're severely distracted. It's a Wednesday edition of the podcast. Good to have you along today. Save that. I'm updating linkreport.us, today's show notes, because I want you to have this stuff. Here's the thing. I do this every day, and I also post the notes every day, so you can go and look at the stories that I'm sourcing, and that's important, as I've said before, because these stories also have other stuff in them. There are links to deeper research and deeper information, because I can't give you the entirety of the information about any one topic, because I would never finish. I would spend an hour talking about one aspect of it, and then have to come back the next day and try to finish that up and maybe get to another aspect of it, because there's so much material. And that's one of the reasons you can't trust the nightly news to give you the full picture. You're not going to get a complete picture from the nightly news because of time. And they know that. They also know that your attention span is only so long. So they keep everything as short as they can and deliver as much information as they can with the right slant. So you're not going to get the complete picture, and you should chase after all of the links in a story just so you can see what's really going on, so you understand where the writers are coming from. Okay. And it's not a big mystery where people are coming from. Whenever something happens in America that is horrific, for example, in the last couple of weeks, we've had a couple of shootings. One in Atlanta, one in Boulder, Colorado. And of course, those on the left who haven't had this kind of fodder for the last few years, because did you notice that this sort of thing didn't happen? These mass shootings, mass shootings didn't happen for the last few years. Did you notice that? But suddenly, the leftists are back in power. There is a major crisis on the southern border that's getting a lot of attention, and the mainstream press is beginning to pay attention to the horrific, the horrible conditions that children are being kept in on the southern border. And as soon as they start asking hard questions in the press briefings at the White House, we have two shootings. Coincidence? I'm not a conspiracy theorist. As I've told you, I'm not that guy. I'm the guy who will look at my radio partner, Dave, and say, "You've been on those websites again, haven't you?" I'm that guy. But when you start seeing these things happen, you realize we really haven't had a big shooting incident for a while. And all of a sudden, the administration changes, and inconvenient news starts coming from the southern border, and bang, bang, we have two. 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 And in the most recent one, in Boulder, Colorado, the suspect, turns out he had a short temper. He was violent, according to former sports teammates. His name, Amhad Al-Aliwi Alisa, 21 years of age, and a former teammate, Dayton Marvell, who was on a wrestling team with him, said he was kind of scary to be around. Once threatened to kill people during an especially heated moment. Another former wrestling teammate, Angel Hernandez, recalled how another wrestler at one point teased Alyssa, telling him that if he was a better wrestler, he would have won a match he lost. And the guy just lost it and started punching him. Both of these guys said Alyssa often talked about the idea that he was targeted by others because of his Muslim faith. Have you heard that in the mainstream press? That he was Muslim, born in Syria? He's been in the U.S. since he was 3, but still. Marvell says he'd talk about him being Muslim and how if anybody tried anything, he'd file a hate crime and say we were making it up. It was a crazy deal. I just know he was a pretty cool kid and until something made him mad. Then whatever made him mad, he went over the edge way too far. According to a Facebook page appearing to belong to him, he was born in Syria in 1999, wrestled while attending Arvada West High School. In posts on the page, he referred to racism and Islamophobia. In one post, he said he was being stalked by someone because of racism. I think we have a pretty clear image of what's happening here. I think we have a pretty clear image of the situation that we have somebody who has mental issues. He bought the gun 6 days before the incident. He went through the process, the legal process. So he didn't, he passed background checks. And no law that anyone is proposing to pass at this point in time would have stopped him from getting the weapon he got. None. He walked in to a place that was a gun-free zone and began killing people. So I would suggest to you that were it not a gun-free zone and people felt free to carry and people didn't feel like they were offending the grocery store management by being there with a firearm on their side, someone probably would have stopped him before killing 10 people. He wouldn't have had the opportunity. But because the left punishes law-abiding citizens by passing laws that lawless people will never obey, this guy obeyed the law and was crazy. And apparently he was on the FBI's radar as well. And before details were known about what happened Monday in Boulder, Colorado, Democrats were falling all over each other, rushing to advance a gun control agenda. 10 people, including a police officer, were murdered at a grocery store. The killer was eventually apprehended. He suffered just a few injuries. Senator Chris Murphy, the Democrat from Connecticut, one of the staunchest gun control advocates in Congress, said America must use the Boulder atrocity to take its stand against gun violence. He said, "This is the moment to make our stand. Now, today, our movement is stronger than the gun lobby. They're weak. We're potent. Finally, a president and a Congress that supports gun reform. No more Newtons, no more Parklands, no more Boulders. Now we make our stand." Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer promised that lawmakers would advance gun control measures in the wake of the Boulder massacre, saying, "We are closely monitoring the situation on the ground in Boulder, Colorado. I'm praying for the Boulder community and the first responders. I'm mourning for those we've lost. This Senate must and will move forward on legislation to help stop the epidemic of gun violence." Let me stop right here. There is no epidemic of gun violence. Not in the way he would like you to believe there is. Remember, we have gone for a few years without an incident like this. Now, if you believe the gun grabbers, this happens all the time, because any incident involving 4 people or more, they classify as a mass shooting. And in order to do that, they have to include gang shootings. But they won't include gang shootings when you look at it from different angles. But gang shootings happen all the time in Chicago. And you never, and I mean never, see this reported with horrific shock by the mainstream media. Representative Adam Shifty Schiff, the Democrat from California, the liar in chief today, lamenting the latest mass tragedy, said gun reform is the only adequate response. Quote, as horrifying reports continue to emerge from Colorado, my heart is with the victims, their families, and the Boulder community. Once again, a gunman has turned a public space into a site of tragedy. We don't have to live in fear like this. We must pass common sense gun reforms. There's that phrase, common sense gun reforms. Nothing about what he would propose would be common sense. Nothing. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, tipsy Aunt Nancy, says, for the second time in a week, our nation is being confronted by the epidemic of gun violence. You see, they've got their talking points and their phraseology. The epidemic of gun violence. She goes on to say, too many families in too many places are being forced to endure this unfathomable pain and anguish. Action is needed now to prevent this scourge from continuing to ravage our communities. Well, it hasn't ravaged our communities for many, 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 many months. Not until another Democrat came back into the White House. Isn't that interesting? Not until things on the border got uncomfortable and inconvenient for the Democrats. The Boulder shooting came less than a week after 8 people, including 6 Asian women, were slaughtered across multiple spas in Atlanta, Georgia. Georgia Senator Raphael Warnock, Democrat, similarly responded to that tragedy by voicing support for increased gun control, of course. Another nut who also shot white people, by the way. There were white people involved. It wasn't just Asians. And by the way, all of this stuff they're trying to force feed you about Asian hate and violence against Asians being perpetrated by white people, 80% of it is being perpetrated by black people. 80%. That doesn't make the 20% right. 100% of it's wrong. But please get the facts. The black people have been told that the Asians are taking everything from them, that they're making it harder for them to get what they want out of society. And the race baiters who are pushing for reparations and all of this other garbage are lying to the black community and telling them that Asians are their problem. White people and Asians. And so there have been hate crimes against Asians, 80% of them committed by black people who believe the liars who are misleading them for their own purposes. Is gun control going to happen? They are going to try. But it's up to you and I. Get to your representatives, get to your senators. Tell them the Constitution clearly protects your right to keep and bear arms, and it shall not be infringed. You know, when you reach for your cup of coffee and you look down and there's just like there's one swallow in it left, you tip it back and it's just as cold as this is not iced coffee. This is just coffee. And oh my gosh. But I must have caffeine. I must. Trust me, you don't want me without it. It's a midweek edition of the Daily Perspective podcast, and we've talked about how the administration is now the Biden-Harris administration. Apparently, it's a teamwork thing. It's a partnership. We're moving forward, and it's a partnership. This is unprecedented. It's unconstitutional. It's not. But You just watch what they're going to try to do. You can just keep your eye on that. We've talked about Aliwi Alisa, the Colorado shooting suspect who was Islamic. He was a Muslim and was a guy with some mental issues, serious mental issues, paranoia and a victim complex. And he didn't break any laws until he walked into a supermarket and began killing people. And the leftists are all insane and they want to go. They want to go. they want to go to the extreme of passing even more laws, which will only punish law-abiding citizens. And none of the laws that they would pass would have stopped this guy from doing what he did. Let's say they ban the AR-15, okay? That's one of the things they want to do. They want to ban the AR-15. What would he have done? He would have walked in with a 9mm and a handful of magazines and done the same thing. He just wouldn't have used the same weapon. What if guns were not available at all? Well, then only the thugs in Chicago and people like them would have guns. And what if they managed miraculously somehow to wipe every gun out of existence so that nobody, absolutely nobody had them? What would happen? Knifings. Look at England. That's what's happening now. In England. Other nations where they've done the same thing, violence still happens. Different weapons are used. We're not talking about objects committing these atrocities. We're talking about people. It's a people problem. But they don't want you to know that. And do you know why? This is an interesting fact you may not be aware of. Leftists believe that all people are inherently good. And so when something horrible happens, they can't blame the people. They blame what they used. Because all people are inherently good. That's a lie that they wholeheartedly believe. Now, Ted Cruz had a few words to say about what's happening is in response to these shootings. It's about 5 minutes, 5.5 minutes. I think he addresses it very well. Be patient, listen closely to what Ted Cruz had to say.
Once again, we wake up to a horrific act of mass murder. All of us lift up in prayer the families in Boulder, Colorado, the families in Atlanta that lost their lives, including the police officer in Boulder, Colorado. I can tell you in Texas, we've seen far too many of these. I was in Santa Fe the morning of that shooting. Santa Fe High School is less than an hour from my house. I was in El Paso at the Walmart for yet another senseless mass murder. I was in Dallas where 5 police officers were murdered by a radical. I was in Sutherland Springs, in that beautiful sanctuary where a monster murdered innocent people. I've been to too damn many of these. Senator from Connecticut just said, it's time for us to do something. I agree. It is time for us to do something. And every time there's a shooting, we play this ridiculous theater where this committee gets together and proposes a bunch of laws that would do nothing to stop these murders.
He's right.
Senator from Connecticut just said the folks on the other side of the aisle have no solutions. Well, the senator from Connecticut knows that is false. He's a liar. And he knows that's false because Senator Grassley and I together introduced legislation, Grassley-Cruz, targeted at violent criminals, targeted at felons, targeted at fugitives, targeted at those with...
Oh, that's nice. They just bailed on me. Now, the link is in the show notes for today. Okay. Please watch this video in the show notes. It's there. And, what happened was I was playing it live from the, from the page, and they decided in the middle of it to insert an ad. How nice. So that's just ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. And of course, when I go back to it, it starts it from the beginning. And I wanted you to hear his entire remarks, because his entire remarks are very, very revealing. And he says essentially what I've said for so long, and that is that the Democrats want to pass laws which will not solve the problem. He talked about the bill, Cruz-Grassley, that addressed criminals, dealing with criminals. And the Democrats don't want to deal with criminals. These are the people who want criminals in prison to get relief checks. These are the people who released criminals from prisons to protect them from COVID. These are the people who fight for the rights of people who harm and kill other people. They don't want to deal with criminals. They want to ban objects. They want to make the weapon evil, and anyone who defends the ownership of the weapon equally as evil. This is what they want to do. Senator Cruz referred to it as theater, and it is. They all march out and become emotional in front of the cameras, and they vow to end this wave of violence, this horrible thing, this epidemic. And yet there is really not an epidemic. It's isolated. It happens in a handful of cities, and those cities are all controlled by Democrats, and those Democrats won't deal with the real source of evil, and that is the criminals committing the crimes. There has to be some level of fear associated with wrongdoing, or wrongdoing spreads. If you're not afraid of being caught and punished for doing wrong, you will continue to do wrong, knowing that you are not going to suffer the consequence of your actions. But the Democrats, the leftists, these progressives, as I said, they believe that everyone is inherently good. It's what they use that's wrong. So you take those things that they use away from them, and they'll be good people. Yes, that is crazy. Yes, that is stupid. Yes, that is contradicted by every bit of common sense in real life you can possibly think about. One name comes to mind. Adolf Hitler. Mao Zedong is another. There are others, leaders of societies, of countries, who have murdered millions of people who would not conform to their dictates. People who were evil. Evil people. But progressives, leftists, deny that it's the people who are evil. They explain it away. And so the Democrats will pass laws, attempt to pass laws, to deprive law-abiding people, which are the vast, overwhelming, incredible majority of the people, to make their lives much more inconvenient in the name of preventing crime. Criminals don't abide by the law. That's why they're criminals. I can't say this enough, that these people don't care about your safety. They don't care about the well-being of your family. They don't care at all about the law. They care about what they want in the moment, at the time. They care about being angry and who has made them angry and who has crossed them and what they can do to punish them for doing that. They care about being violent in order to control someone else. And if they don't have guns to do it, they'll find other things to do it with. Those people will never be stopped by laws. They've already proven to us that laws are meaningless to them. But the Democrats will continue to push laws, which is why you have got to push your representatives and senators to do what's right, not what's insane. And that's it for today. Let's get back together tomorrow, shall we, for the next edition of the Daily Perspective Podcast. God bless. Bye-bye.
Oh, we're done.